This is a recording of a talk given by Rose Spazito on November 7, 2019 to the Longmont Shambhala Meditation Group.
It's going to have a slightly different format than I typically will do. And we'll be talking tonight not only about meditation, but also meditation and a method called focusing, which I refer to as embodied presence. And embodied presence is really about cultivating wisdom and getting in touch with our inner knowing. And so before I say more, I'll just take us into the way that I come into meditation when I introduce people to meditation and focusing all together. So you really don't have to know anything about meditation or focusing at this point. You can relax and enjoy the ride, and I'll just guide you. So just taking our seats now, really finding a comfortable position and really just beginning to tune into your body, our precious bodies that are here to give us this opportunity to meditate and to be fully present. And this is a body scan. You're welcome to close your eyes if you would like, or keep them open. If you're having your eyes open, just have a relaxed, kind of downward gaze. But I recommend during the scan, you might want to close them. So just taking a moment now, just to feel your presence here in this room. Just noticing yourself, how you're sitting on your seat. Notice if the body feels comfortable and settled. As you bring your awareness to your feet, feeling the support of the earth underneath you. Just noticing any sensations. We're simply noticing how our body is at this time. As you bring your awareness up through your legs, and into your sitting bones, feel free to adjust your position to get a little bit more comfortable and relaxed. Just bring your awareness to your buttocks all together, and even sensing if you can release a little bit more into your seat. Feeling the weight of your body now. As you bring your awareness to your back all together, the lower back, sacrum, all the way up through the spinal column, taking your time, including the width of your back. The muscles, the bones. I'm just getting a sense as to how it is in your back right now. Noticing any tensions back there. Or any tensions in the legs. Again, not trying to fix or manipulate anything, just noticing. As you bring your awareness into your shoulders, we tend to carry a lot on our shoulders. Much of our life somehow lands on our shoulders. So just noticing how it feels there now on your shoulders. Noticing any tightness or contraction. As well as noticing anything that feels relaxed and open. As you bring your awareness down through your arms and into your hands. Again, noticing energy, sensations. Noticing how your hands are sitting comfortably on your lap. as you bring your awareness to your neck, the back of your neck, and the sides. Up through the scalp and into the face. Including the jaw, another place where we tend to hold tension. Perhaps a little invitation to relax the jaw. And with a relaxed and yet upright position, just feeling into the body now. And we could simply open our eyes gently and just have a relaxed gaze as if our eyeballs were sitting comfortably in their sockets. The gaze is slightly downward, about 6 or 7 feet in front. Acknowledging the breath coming in and going out, just the way it is. Again, feeling the body, noticing how we feel right now. So meditation is about not just taking a posture, but also feeling fully human, feeling our aliveness. Sensations are a sign of our aliveness. Whether it's painful, pleasurable, there's an aliveness happening. So just getting a sense of feeling even more settled. As we begin to notice thoughts and emotions, all kinds of feelings as they come and they go. Noticing that whatever arises, including sounds, or the play of light, is all taking place in this larger space. There's lots of room here to be who we are and to experience what we experience in this moment. Without rejecting anything at all, or following every thought or emotion that comes up, but just simply noticing our experience. We find that we're becoming too distracted by thoughts or emotions, just simply and gently come back to the breath, the in and the out of the breath, as an opportunity to come back to the present moment. And this could be known as simply being, just sensing what it's like to just simply be. Again, nothing in our experience need be rejected. Everything is welcome to be here. Good. So I wanted to.
Can you think of just a little bit?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to share a little bit about the work of meditation and focusing. And I have some notes that I've taken. Basically speaking, meditation and focusing. Meditation allows us the opportunity to be present with ourselves. It allows us to experience moments of just simply being and being present and relating to what's happening and the nowness of our lives, the present moment. Meditation gives us the context to experience greater awareness and mindfulness of our situation and our lives altogether. For me, it's been a wonderful journey in discovering on a deeper level who I am. And I think that's what meditation does for many of us. It gives us the opportunity to stop, to slow down, and to be present with ourselves so we notice our moment-to-moment experiences. We notice how we are in the world. And simply put, it's an amazing practice. I think we all realize that. Many of us here are meditators. Some of us have been meditating for many, many years. The mindfulness aspect of meditation, and the awareness aspect of meditation, is what I have found to work so beautifully with the focusing process altogether. Focusing is a body-based awareness practice. So inasmuch as mindfulness, awareness, and meditation altogether allows us the opportunities to synchronize body and mind, which it does, it gives us amazing opportunity to come into alignment with our body breathing, coming back to the breath, coming back to the very moment, coming back to our experience over and over again. What focusing does is it gives us the ability to recognize those parts of us that even though we may have been meditating for many, many, many years, somehow still haven't felt met. Focusing was started by a wonderful man named Eugene Gendlin, who died 2 years ago. He was a philosopher and a therapist. And Eugene noticed when he was teaching at Chicago University with his mentor, Carl Rogers, the great humanistic psychologist, that when he took people into the process of therapy, what he noticed was when he invited the question, how are you experiencing that right now? He noticed that people would drop down into their bodies more. They would close their eyes. And something happened where they were able to tune into something beyond their already knowing comprehension. And he did this over and over and over again. Probably thousands of people that he worked with. And he developed this system, which he called focusing. It's a terrible word. It doesn't really point to anything other than you think you have to be like this. But for now, that's all we have. And so he took this and turned it into a beautiful system called the focusing system, the focusing method. And through this, he created a whole simple system of how people can connect to their body as well as to their mind and their spirit to find out a little bit more deeply about parts of them that were not moving forward or somewhere along the line got stuck. And he was a phenomenal person, and I had a wonderful opportunity to study with him for a few years prior to his death. And my time with him was extraordinary. Very much like meditation, it takes you to a place of open space where you're kind of in the unknown of possibilities. And I find very much like meditation when I'm sitting and the mind begins to settle and the body begins to settle, there's an openness of space. You're present, you're aware, your mind is here, you can feel and sense and see everything that's going on for the most part within you and around you. But with focusing, it's a very deliberate method and technique where you turn your awareness towards something that's happening within you that is wanting your attention for some kind of resolution, something that's wanting to be resolved. Maybe not right away, but it's almost as if there's an open invitation there for something else to emerge out of an old problem. So, like meditation, as with focusing on the cushion and with the focusing method, we're working with and battling old habitual patterns and belief systems and tendencies that we have carried around for a very long, long time. And we experience these through intense emotions like anger, frustration, worry, depression, fear, trauma, all these places that are held in the body. Because everything that we have experienced in our life since utero, maybe before, for those of us who believe in past lifetimes, it all gets held in the body. These parts that we're talking about are parts that have gotten stuck somewhere along the line. Or, as is expressed, it's a stopped process. We were going along just fine, right? And then all of a sudden, bam, something happens in our experience and we're thrown. And it gets stuck in the body. Especially at a young age, where we don't have the words or the cognitive abilities to look at our experience and say, oh, I know that, what that is. We don't. It goes right in. I can think of an example when I was in third grade in Catholic school, and I was left back at a very young age, and all my little buddies were moving ahead. And I couldn't get why I was not able to move ahead with my little buddies. And I was told that my math wasn't good enough and I had to do a whole other year. And that left its imprint so deeply. But at the time, I couldn't wrap my logical mind around it, but it went somewhere in. And it's affected me in many, many ways in terms of my learning ability, or I had to work hard to compensate for something that was stopped. But there was no real explanation. And I think many of us have experienced something like this that may have happened 30 years ago, where somehow we got thrown around, and all of a sudden what we were able to do before, we all of a sudden can't do. And I can think of a number of situations where I could reason and say, well, that was a long time ago. Come on, you know. But no. It could be driving a car. It could be a job where you were going along just fine in your job, and all of a sudden your boss calls you in the next day and you're out. And you go, what? What happened? And it's like you feel it inside, don't we? We feel all our experiences with inside. And so what Eugene really discovered is that it all happens in the body. So yeah, we can do our meditation practice, and what meditation practice gives us the possibilities and the opportunities for is to create the context of a settled mind, stability, presence, more clarity, and to see things more clearly. What the focusing process allows us to do is turn that greater awareness of who we really are. We really are this compassionate, good, kind person. That's the bigger part of who we are. As Suzuki Roshi said, big mind. And that's who we really are. We're really that space of big mind. The parts that have gotten stuck are the parts that we're turning our awareness to. Like a gentle beam that's turning towards these parts that are suffering, these parts that have gotten stuck inside. And so it's a beautiful process of bearing witness to those places within us that are still suffering, that for me, quite personally, I wasn't able to really do on the cushion. And I have found that with this method, with a combination of meditation practice that gives me the opportunity to understand on a deeper level kindness and compassion, I have learned how to listen more deeply and turn my awareness towards those parts that are suffering. And this is what the focusing method allows us to do, very simply. It's a very powerful and effective method. And so the long and the short of it is that's what the focusing method is. And it's a body-based awareness practice. We are not separate beings. We're not just a mind and a body. How we hold our mind is how we hold our body. If the mind is relaxed, the body is relaxed. When the body is relaxed, it feels more safe for us to be engaged with it. And so in the focusing practice, one of the big components is to listen deeply, to turn our awareness towards something that's here, and to listen deeply beyond judging or pushing away or pulling in, very much like meditation practice. It's the same thing we do in meditation. Whatever arises in our experience is welcome to be here. Even resistance, we welcome that to be here. Or parts of us that don't want to meditate, we welcome that to be here. The part that falls asleep, we welcome that. So there's a large enough space to accommodate everything that we experience in our human condition. The same is true for focusing. Whatever arises, nothing has to be rejected. It's all worthy of our attention because within everything arises are great resources for us to discover a deeper level of who we are. Even if it's a painful situation or intense emotion, within that are the hidden gems that are trying to tell us something about ourselves. These parts want to be made whole again. They want to be part of the whole. And so we invite them to be here. We welcome them. And we turn our awareness towards them with a deeper kind of listening, a particular kind of listening into. And then along with that, we use a certain kind of facilitative language. And this kind of language are just words that hold power to support the focusing practice. And so I'd like to just do a little tuning in with all of us here now and guide you through a little focusing session. And then maybe we could stop for tea, and then we'll come back. And then I'm going to have a little demonstration going on, and then we can take it from there. Does that sound okay with everybody?
Yeah. Great.
This is exciting. What is that dropping noise?
Yes, what is that?
The meter not working, I think.
Sounds like someone's on the roof.
It looks like it's trying to turn on.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It sounds like something's coming down a chute. Okay. So, yeah, let's take our seats comfortably. And let's just feel our presence, feel ourselves releasing more into the earth, really letting the earth support you now. Gently closing your eyes. And again, just a shorter body scan right now. Just bring your awareness to the whole of your body. Your feet and your legs. Your sitting bones and your back. Shoulders and arms and hands, including your fingers. The neck and the head and the breath. The natural rising and falling of the breath. And now turning your awareness into the whole inner area of your being. Your throat, your chest, your stomach and solar plexus, and down into the belly. Kind of like you're arriving gently within the whole inner area of your being. Just simply listening to these words and taking them in, letting them drop into your system like into a pool of water. And just inviting these words. How am I? How am I now? How am I really right now? Just letting them drop in. Just noticing what happens when you hear, give those words to yourself. How am I really right now? Noticing any sensations that might come, or a word to describe. or perhaps an image that surfaces. Just taking a moment, saying those words gently to yourself. Sometimes the mind wants to quickly give an answer. Perhaps putting those superficial words aside right now and dropping down even more. How am I really right now? Simply noticing beyond judging. Like you're simply bearing witness to something in you that is feeling a certain way. And just simply being curious about that. No matter what comes, being curious. As we say these words, just gently, one more time. How am I right now? Perhaps there's some residue from the day. There's something happening in your life that may be wanting your attention. Giving it lots of room to be here. Welcoming. Being present with. Noticing how we can be present with something that comes within us. Without judging or trying to fix anything. Perhaps it's simply a sensation without words, but we can notice how we would describe that. Perhaps it's a tightness. Or something else. And as we begin to come to a close, just with this simple session, just taking a moment, to sense if there's anything more that would like to come when we invite those simple words, how am I right? And as we come to a close, it's taking a time to just integrate back into the outer space and opening your eyes slowly. That's just a little demonstration of tuning in to ourselves on the spot. Just a little demonstration there. So I'm curious if anybody would like to share what it was like just doing that simple little exercise. What you noticed.
I came up on this kind of edge, kind of like the edge of something.
Right.
Yeah, so sort of felt really kind of sweet, but also vulnerable.
Yeah. Well said. I like the way you put that, Emily, like on the edge of something. Not quite known, but it felt sweet and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Like to share.
I'm just curious, do you do this separate from meditation or as part of your
Thank you for asking. What is your name?
Nancy.
Nancy. It's usually done separate from meditation. Meditation is its own practice. Focusing is its own practice. But there are times when I want to do a focusing session where I'll sit for about 5 to 10, maybe 15 minutes just to settle my mind and my body. And then I will begin my focusing session. Yeah. Thanks, Nancy. Did you have anything you wanted to share?
Well, I've actually kind of done... I never knew it was focusing, but
great.
Just kind of as part of my meditation in Shavasana sometimes,
I can
kind of find areas in my body that just feel very anxious or something.
Yes, and yes.
I've never really been able to tap into what that's about.
Right, focusing is a wonderful way to tune into those places that feel anxious.
I try to open,
Well, if you want to go more deeply with it, I can share a lot with you that you find wonderfully surprising.
Yeah, nice to figure out what's going on.
Exactly. And your body knows, and it will tell you. It has tremendous wisdom.
At this point, there's a break for tea. The recording continues.
So I just wanted to make sure I covered a few points about the focusing process. The meditation and focusing are great resources for us to have at our fingertips. I have found that I am now using focusing 24/7. It really helps me to come into contact with a much deeper place of knowing on the spot for decision making, for gaining clarity in many areas of my life. Whether it's helped me tremendously in my relationships, my relationship with my companion, with my children. It's helped me tremendously with getting in touch with my health, where I'm finding that if I'm suffering from something, I am able to tune into the body and really get a deeper felt sense, which is a phrase that Eugene Gendlin actually was the originator who coined the term felt sense, which now so many modalities have taken on, which is wonderful. And that felt sense guides us to a deeper inner knowing on what's going on with us. Really what's going on. With my health, I've had some health challenges the past few years. I've used focusing to go into the body, and it has really taken me to a place where my body begins to tell me what's really going on, beyond my trying to fix it in a certain way that I try to do, and to really not be so much in reaction. And what focusing has been amazing with is being in less reactivity and more in response. And as a result of being more in response, responding rather than reacting, it has done so many things in terms of sleep for me, helping with sleep. As I was saying, developing better relationships. As soon as I started focusing, I could listen to my kids from a higher place, a better place. I felt personally more resourced and within myself to know that when I'm less in reaction, I have more access to a lot of those qualities that we all have. Goodness, compassion, kindness, resilience, strength. It gets us in touch with a natural power that we all carry, that we are not powerless. And a lot of the times, sometimes we feel that way. We feel powerless in the face of our intense emotions, whether it's fear or anxiety or worry or anger. How can I get over this anger? It's not about getting over anything. It's about being in touch with what's here. So when we feel scared, we can turn our awareness towards those places within us that feel afraid. When we feel angry and frustrated, we can turn our awareness towards that part of ourselves that really is feeling angry, frustrated. But it's always coming from a deeper place. And what I love about this method is that it allows us to see beyond the anger, above the fear. It allows us to go deeper and to a place that maybe there's more sadness there rather than there is anger. Maybe right below the fear is a part of us that feels kind of bewildered or confused. We don't have a handle on life, and so we get afraid. We don't know what's going on, and we're in the unknown. And so right away we grip and we contract. Everything, the body is always in reaction to unresolved issues that are still playing out in our mind from a lot of old experiences that we're still holding on to. A lot of these experiences, I have come to realize over the years, we have borrowed. We've borrowed scripts from our society. We've borrowed emotions in ways that our parents held their emotions from the get-go. They say below the age of 7 years old, there's some kind of a cognitive factor that hasn't been developed. The mind doesn't reason. There's no separation. We're still merged with the energies of our family and our parents. And so we're picking up and it's coming into our system and our reaction. I mean, don't you see in some ways you react like your mother or your father with certain things, right? You have the same attitudes. It's not that we decided to do that on some level. When we were young, we didn't decide. Well, we decided somewhere along the line that it wasn't us, that it was somebody else. And so much of what we are in reaction to is a lot of things that we have borrowed as a result of being in this world, of taking on other people's ways of thinking and behaving and emoting and all the rest of it. I mean, when you look at a baby, we all just come in. You know, we may have little tendencies here and there, but we certainly didn't come in speaking like our parents or behaving like them or taking other. And we can't blame our parents because they took it on from their parents. So it's kind of like, where at some point do we stop and say halt? Where at some point do we say, I need to pause, press the pause button here, and really tune into what's real and what's not? What is mine and what is somebody else's? And sometimes we're so kind of intertwined we can't tell, but that's okay because it doesn't matter at some level. What matters is that either the way we're living our lives is either causing suffering or not. We're able to be in the moment and see directly what's going on, or we're not. And that's the beauty of meditation practice. It allows us to show up and be in the present moment. So we know we have choices. I could choose to be that way right now or not. At some point we realize we can take a road. We're at the fork in that road, and sometimes that fork in the road, we don't know. It's open. But a lot of time we're in reaction, and then we go down this way, and 10 years later we go, oh, God, I knew I should have da-da-da-da-da-da 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, all the repercussions and everything that we have made rash decisions on begin to haunt us. And then we have to stop and pause and say, okay, let me look at all of this. So focusing gives us the opportunity to go to those places that still feel very stuck and blocked and look at them with fresh eyes. So when I was sharing that experience about being left back in eighth grade, I had to do some focusing work and I had to go in and invite that part of me to come back, to revisit that moment where I felt that within me and I could feel it like a knife going right in. And so I had to go and very gently be with it and say, hello, I know you're there, but I'm with you now as an adult. I'm with you now in this larger self and presence. Or as one of my favorite teachers, Sogni Rinpoche, says, the mere self, not the solid self, the mere self, that part of us that can bring compassion and awareness and skill and empathy to those places that may have gotten stuck a long time ago. So that's the beauty of this. And then there's a whole way to be with that part that may have gotten stuck a long time ago or yesterday. It doesn't matter when. It's that about time, really. But I have to say, what this method has really shown me is how not only to be with parts that are challenged, but also has helped me to discover the resources I already have to show up to be with them. So at the same time you're working with something, at the same time you're being introduced to all of the amazing resources we have as human beings. Our wisdom, our kindness, we're sharpening those, we're bringing those to the forefront. Our ability to have insight into things, and a certain kind of power that we all carry with us. It's an empowering method. It's a wonderful experience to be able to be with yourself in parts that have had to hide out for whatever reason and create a safe situation for them to emerge. It is a wonderful feeling. That in and of itself is an incredible resource to have. So we're reconnecting with those resources within ourselves at the same time that we're able to gently and very gently invite those old parts to come back and be with us so they can find their way forward. Does this all make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Again, in every area of our life, whether it's our spiritual life, a purpose, health, relationships, confidence, it really helps to nurture these aspects. And even in neuropsychology, they're beginning to see that so much of the brain, because of our survival instincts in the limbic area of our brain and the amygdala, that we're still living in a very survivalist mode all the time. Everything is about survival. By the time when we get up in the morning, you know, is the shower going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? You know, is my favorite cup of tea going to be there? I mean, even the smallest little thing, we are always, as a human species, like animals, threatened by. You know, we still hold on to this sense of territoriality with ourselves, with each other. And so they're noticing that even in neuropsychology, that we still go back to the survival. Am I going to be okay? Right? And they've discovered with meditation practice that there's more of an ease that takes place. That instead of those little sensor systems going into the negative all the time, into survival mode, they begin to pause like this and go like this, as if to say, I have a choice here. I don't have to go back to the limbic system or the amygdala. I don't have to feel threatened. It gives us some distance and some space to be more present to what's really happening. It's kind of like mistaking the snake for a rope in the ground. And that's a wonderful thing, because then we are less in reaction. We realize at that point in the brain, the synapses, that we have a choice. And in focusing, it's very much the same way. When we are taking time to be in the body and sense what's really coming up for us around a particular issue, right away, the brain begins to go, whoop, maybe I don't have to go, maybe I can go more towards the prefrontal lobes to a more altruistic state here. And that's when we begin to change the synapses in the brain. We don't have to be so afraid because we get more of a sense that there's really nothing to be afraid of. But we have to, it has to be felt in the body. You can't rationalize this stuff. And so what that does is, within the focusing method, similar to meditation, is it leaves this open space of unknown. We don't know. But instead of going, I don't know, it's more, I don't know. Let me see what I'm about to discover. What wants to emerge from a new, fresh perspective. So the beauty of this practice is it gives us fresh perspective into an old situation. We no longer have to go back to looking at it the same way all the time, like a rat in a maze. It's kind of like opening up the cage. Yeah. So that's the wonderfulness of this practice. I want to make sure I've covered certain things here, so that I don't leave here thinking, oh, I just wanted to say that. So this is good. Okay, so I thought that maybe, Carol, would you be up to doing a little focusing session? So Carol and I will do a little focusing session, because a big part of focusing, what I teach, is how to do focusing for yourself, to come in and do focusing for yourself so you have this tool to utilize all the time in your life. And then part of focusing is focusing with a companion. Excuse me. So there's the companion. And the companion basically holds the space quietly for the focuser to have their session. And then there is the focuser who's going through the process of focusing. And so we'll do a demonstration of what that looks like for you. And then afterwards, I'll do another little guided exercise so you'll get a better feel for how this works. And then we'll take it from there. Sound good? Great. All right, Carol. So we'll turn our chairs towards each other. How is this distance, Carol?
Yes, good.
Okay.
And are you going to be the focuser, or do you want me to be the focuser?
Would you mind being the focuser?
Okay, great.
Is there any particular issue that comes up for you that you would like to turn your attention to? Something just in general?
I've been working a lot with procrastination, so I think that will be what
procrastination
my attention to.
Carol, would you like this to be recorded or not?
I don't care.
It's okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, Carol. So I'll just do a little lead-in for you.
Okay.
So just taking your time now to just gently bring your awareness to your body altogether. Really feeling the support of the chair and the room and the ground beneath you. As you bring your awareness to the breath, and as you turn your awareness into the whole inner area of your being, your throat, chest, stomach and solar plexus, and down into your belly. Like an open invitation, inviting whatever would like to come around this whole issue of procrastination. Taking your time. When you sense something, feel free to let me know.
I feel a, I'm sensing a discomfort right in my midriff. Just going to stay with that. And a kind of a little choking sensation in the base of my throat. They seem to go together.
Yeah. So you're sensing something right there in your throat that's like a choking sensation. And it seems to go together with what you're experiencing right there in the abdomen.
So I'm letting this uncomfortable place know that I'm sensing it and turning toward it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to be with it. Just checking with it to see if there is how it's feeling from its point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sensing that this part is anxious.
So it's letting you know that it's feeling anxious.
Sensing that anxiety and letting it know I'm open to receive whatever it wants me to know about that, what it's anxious about. Relaxing sound, I sense that it's relieved.
Yes, relieved.
To be acknowledged.
Yeah. So it's letting you know that it really appreciates being acknowledged. And you could let it know you really are.
So it's bringing, or maybe another part anyway, I'm having an image of a room in my apartment that's very cluttered and messy. Checking with this anxious part to see if that's part of what it's worried about. And there's another part that is sensing. In my forehead, letting that part know that I'm sensing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're also sensing something in your forehead that's pretty tense. Yeah.
And this part is I frustrated, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm checking with it to see if that's the right word.
Yeah.
It's frustrated because there's no action being taken. This situation is stagnant.
Yeah.
And it's it's frustrating because it feels like it's tried over and over again to get action, to get me to take action, and nothing happens.
Yeah. So it's letting you know that it's really frustrated by no action taking place.
I'm letting it know that I'm sensing how frustrated it feels.
Yeah.
And I'm sensing that the anxious part is worried that it's too big a job.
So we have both parts here right now. We have the worried part that's letting you know that it's anxious about it being too big of a job. And we have the frustrated part also that says, I've tried over and over again, and there's still no action taking place. And both parts are here right now.
And just being with both parts.
Yes.
Letting them know that sense how they feel.
Yeah.
Just reminding them that I am self and presence. I am a space where they both can be just as they need to be. Both welcome.
Mm-hmm. Maybe sensing if one of those parts would like more of your attention than the other at this time. The worried part or the frustrated part.
Sensing that the worried part wants more attention, and I sense that it's saying that it's feeling like it needs help.
It needs help, yeah.
I'm letting it know that I'm sensing that it wants help.
It wants help, yeah.
And that I really appreciate how it feels.
Yeah.
It's very... kind of a sharp... checking with it to see what kind of help would it want.
Yeah, that's it.
Can it let me know what kind of help it wants?
What kind of help would you like?
Feeling like it's not sure how to begin. It needs some support.
Yeah, so it's letting you know it needs some support.
Needs some wants to be acknowledged, that wants it to be acknowledged that this is a big job, and doesn't want to be blamed for not doing it.
So it's letting you know that it wants to be acknowledged that this is a big job, and it does not want to be blamed. You could let it know you really hear it.
I'm letting it know that I'm really sensing how much it wants to. It wants its feelings to be paid attention to. Paying attention to how it feels and sensing its frustration with not being appreciated.
So it's letting you know what it doesn't want, and it's letting you know what it does want. It's not wanting to be blamed, and it's wanting to feel appreciated and to be appreciated. So as we come to a gentle close, now just sensing if there's anything more that would like to come around this for you.
I'm thanking these two parts for sharing their feelings with me during this session. Let them know that I will be open to being with them in future sessions. I can be aware of their presence. Like other times, not just during focusing sessions.
That's right.
Thank you, my body, for helping me understand the feelings of these parts. And thank Rose for being my companion. Bring my attention back to my whole body. In the room, including the banging of the heater.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
So, just a simple demonstration of how we can be with ourselves and how we can be with the body and listen in to what's wanting to be heard.
I just want to say that when I first started focusing, it took me a long time to realize that the sensations that I was feeling in my body were that was it. That was what to pay attention to. And Then when I realized, oh, there's a kind of uncomfortable feeling, I should pay attention to that, you know, turn toward that. Then gradually, I began to sense what that feeling was all about. But it didn't happen instantly. It was a learned process.
You've gotten better at reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, oh, there's an image. Well, okay. Pay attention to that image, because my body was communicating with me and I was not necessarily attending mm-hmm. to the communication. It took me a while to realize, oh, that's a communication. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, for many of us, we don't feel connected to our bodies. We feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. You know, the body is something that we just kind of, it's part of the utility. You know, we do things with. But we don't realize is that the body holds so much of who we are. And it's got so much to share with us. We can trust our bodies more than we can trust just about anything to guide us in life. And Carol, really, it was a beautiful demonstration on being with what was coming, going to that place in the body where it was holding that those feelings, whether it was in the forehead, whether it was in the belly, just being able to name and say, yeah, this is what's going on here, or this is what's going on here, or this is what's going on here, and to be in relationship with the body so it can tell you once and for all what's really going on. We hold a lot of old traumas in the body that we had to shove down because it wasn't safe for them to come forward. So we have to be very gentle. There are many reasons why it's hard for us to be in our body in a particular way because of experiences in life. For some of us, it's even birth. But it's okay. You don't have to figure it out. The most important thing that we can bring to our experience of being with the body is our ability to be empathetic and be kind and gentle and inquisitive and curious and not punish, but really keep a very open attitude towards whatever arises, even if it's an old trauma that's being held.
So with this practice, do you need to pick a topic to focus on, or can you just start out and see what comes
that's
up?
That's a great question. And either way is fine. Sometimes when you start focusing, it's easy to start with just a little bit of an issue. But then if you don't have anything that's particularly coming up, just keep it open. See what wants to come, what's here, or what wants to show up right now. So I thought that we can just do a little bit of a focusing session while we're here. Just take a few minutes, just now that you've had a demonstration. And as I say, the meditation practice is a great ground where we ground ourselves and we come into our awareness and our presence. And then from there, I'll do a little guiding, if that's okay. Just a few minutes. Okay? And do it if you want to. If you don't want to, that's fine too. You can just relax in this space. This is optional. So again, just bring your awareness to the body all together. These precious bodies that hold so much of who we are and all our life circumstances. Especially noticing being settled in our seats. Really feeling the support of the ground, of this place, of each other. And now gently turning your awareness to the whole inner area of your body. The throat, the chest, stomach and solar plexus, and into the belly. These are areas where we tend to hold a lot of emotional residue. But really, when we talk about body, We're talking about a whole interactive space that we can talk about later. But right now, as you begin to turn your awareness into your body altogether, and just bring to mind maybe an issue that you're carrying, some kind of an issue. It doesn't have to be a big deal issue, but something you would like to gain a little bit of clarity around. Or perhaps something in you is feeling a bit anxious or afraid or whatever the emotion might be. And also, you might be feeling incredibly good. All of that can be acknowledged. But whatever it is, bring something to mind. And if there's nothing to bring to mind, just see what wants to be here now for you. And as you bring this particular issue to mind, welcome it. Whatever it is, take a moment to sense what wants to be here. And just sense how it would like for you to be with it now. As you bring this particular circumstance to mind or issue, notice whatever sensations might come up around it. As you bring it in, notice how you sense that whole thing right now. Very simply, really simply. Notice any images that might come around that. Perhaps there's another person involved. Or perhaps a word might come to describe that whole thing. Noticing how the body responds when we invite something to be here. And see if we can just be with it with fresh curiosity. Noticing how it would like for us to be with it now. How would whatever came like for us to be with it? Noticing if it wants us to be closer or a little further away. Perhaps it wants some distance. Or perhaps it would like us to be a little closer to it. Just listening in. Again, beyond trying to fix anything or manipulate it, just being welcoming. And acknowledging it, we can say, hello, I know you're there. Hello, I know you're there. We're coming into relationship with a part of us that perhaps is wanting our attention for whatever reason. perhaps something that's been wanting our attention for a long, long time. And now we can accommodate it. Noticing how it is to welcome something. Even if it's something that we don't like. Or it's something that we might be afraid of. Or something that's foreign to us. Or we've been disconnected from for a long time. Perhaps it's an old friend that's been with us a very long time. And just noticing how you sense that in your body. Noticing any feelings or emotions that come around that. And welcoming those too. These are like old parts that need our attention. Can we create a larger compassionate space for them to be here? Very gently, very simply. Just acknowledging whatever has come. And noticing what it feels like to spend time here with these parts. How is it to keep it company? Knowing that these are parts, these are not who we are, but these are parts of us that need our attention. And beginning to notice if anything shifts when we bring our gentle awareness to them. Again, sensing any kind of emotion that might be around it. Or words that might describe it. Just taking a moment now to sense if there's anything more that would like to be here. This is just a very simple, simple process. perhaps is something that would like your attention in the very near future, where you can come back and visit this place in this way. And as we begin to come to a close, just taking your time very gently to acknowledge whatever may have come. And integrating back into the room and slowly opening our eyes. So a little taste of focusing process. Very simple. Would anybody like to share what that was like for you?
I have some really old things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it gets triggered.
It gets triggered.
By things, you know, in the present. Mm-hmm. Bring that back.
Yes.
And I feel it in here.
Exactly.
As a clench.
Yes.
And, you know, I was getting in touch with today doing this, was that how much it wants to be held.
Exactly.
It really wants to be held.
Exactly. Yes.
It feels neglected and left out.
Yes. It's letting you know all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a whole path of unfolding there for you. It's got a lot there it wants for you to know in terms of how it wants to be liberated from that. Yeah. Thank you, Melissa. Anyone else?
I guess sure. I experienced a range of emotions from a fear, like a tightness in my chest at the start, to disappointment, to more of being comfortable with it as I sort of accept it. Well, I guess my role in causing this to happen. And so just kind of, it's interesting.
It's interesting.
I mean, what I was most surprised by was the fear part right up front.
Right up front it came.
Yeah.
Showed
it
itself.
Like, whoa. I mean, really tight chest feeling, you know, and almost a nervous reaction, and then that.
Like you didn't want to go there? or was it around something?
Just to let him. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I'll talk to you about it later.
Oh, yeah.
I was curious what the fear was from.
I'm sure you were. I may actually tell you later.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I don't want to share with the group.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what
is
your name?
Brett.
Brett. Thank you, Brett. Yeah. It's interesting what comes when we just turn our awareness there.
So I'm curious.
Yes.
At some point, like, I'd really like to know, like, is it something that from my childhood that I blocked out or that I can resolve?
Yes.
Or does just holding it sort of resolve
it will
could, or
it will show you, giving it time. So what I'd like to offer everyone here is a free complimentary focusing session. So I can take you a little bit more deeply into it. Because I'm so passionate about this work, and I'd love to offer that to you. And that would be like 45, 50 minutes. And then you really get a sense of going in a little bit more deeply. And you'll have a better understanding. Because even though things may have happened at a very early age, we're still holding on to it. And the more that we spend time with it in a gentle way, the more it will reveal to us where it may have come from. But the thing about these parts is they have to feel trusting of us now. I know there was a time in my life when something happened at a young age that was traumatic. I was too young to show up for that part. And so it just stayed in my body for many, many, many years. But it was only until I was ready to really know the whole thing and do this practice that I can create a place of safety for myself for that part to come back. Nobody else could do that for me. I had to do it because I couldn't show up for that part at a younger age. But now I can. So now it feels safe with me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's a process that has to be very gentle mm-hmm. and take its time. Because you don't want it to go back into hiding again. Mm-hmm. So, thank you. Mm-hmm. So please, if you'd like to come in, please come in for a focusing session. And then we, you'd really have a chance to explore this even more. Anyone else?
I was kind of questioning or asking about this fear that I have when I wake up. I always feel afraid, or usually.
Oh, yeah.
There's just like some dread about, you know, like the day, or, you know, am I going to be... Well, and then I kind of got to this doing a painting, you know, that I don't like. And I have a lot of anxiety about it. So... And that's kind of part of the dread. It's like, oh, I have this painting that I'm not sure I like.
Right, that's part of the dread, yeah.
Yeah, and then... And I realize I have this part of me that wants to do it well, you know?
Yes.
And then this other part of me that's afraid I'm unworthy if I don't
yes.
do it well.
Right, yes. All of these parts, yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool because I could just kind of separate them out.
Yes.
They're just going on there. And then... Mm-hmm. I had some kind of, something felt separated from, that seemed like it was a glob, but it was actually things. I can't remember what it was. But when you said, is there something that you need to ask of yourself, or something you said towards the end, I can't remember the phrase, but it was just this voice just kind of came up and said, I just want to be okay if I... paint something that I don't like. You know, it's kind of like...
Yes.
You know, I have this high expectation for yeah. myself. And then
yeah. So it's letting you know what it's really wanting for you.
Yeah.
Is to be absolutely okay yeah. no matter how it turns out.
Yes.
So that's what you're bringing away from this evening.
Yeah.
That no matter how it turns out, I am still worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I just really wants that, and there's this part of me that really wants to do well, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the critical part.
Yeah,
it's always trying to control us and tell us. But it's ultimately, it's wanting the best for us, but it just comes at it in a convoluted way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Emily. Thank you. Yeah, anyone else? Anybody confused about this process at all? It's something we practice, but it's like anything else. Once you learn how to do it, it really helps you on the spot to get very clear about things. And it's really a wonderful, wonderful practice. Yeah, any questions at all? Thanks, Kat. Would you like to pass this around, Ben?
Sure.
There we go. Any questions? Curiosities?
So what do you recommend? Can you recommend books that people could, or things
yeah.
that people could read? Or?
Well, I have one right here. My good friend, David Rome.
Do you know David?
Okay. Wrote a book, Your Mind, Your Body Knows the Answer. This is a wonderful book to pick up. And another great book is The Radical Acceptance of Everything by my teacher, Ann Weiser Cornell and Barbara McGavin, who I took my certification with. The Radical Acceptance of Everything. Isn't that a wonderful title?
Yeah,
it means that everything, nothing is excluded. And everything is worthy of our attention. And so that's one book. And Anne just wrote another. Do you know her last book that she wrote?
I can't remember the name right now, and I don't have it.
Okay.
But she has a website.
She has a website, Focusing Resources. And
on the website, you can sign up for her weekly focusing tips.
Yeah, she has weekly focusing
which
tips.
Are, some
yeah.
of them are really wonderful.
Yeah, what's her name again?
Anne Weiser Cornell. Anne Weiser. And her... website is Focusing Resources. I did most of my studying
with Anne. And with Jean, basically. So I hope this was helpful. Yes.
Okay. One little insight I had was, you know, I often think of Melissa and hear saying, the longer, and how long have you been practicing? A long time.
45 years.
But, you know, that this is really the more she does this, the longer she does this, she's just come to realize that it's just really about making friends with yourself. And this is another way of making friends with those parts of ourselves
exactly.
that have been hiding for so long.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
So thank you.
Yeah, I just taught a focusing Shambhala training level 2 weekend, working with fear and fearlessness at the Shambhala Center in Boulder. And half of it was focusing work, how we can be with those places in us that are scared. And it was wonderful. Really wonderful. It was a lot of meditation practice and focusing and some teachings, and it was just really wonderful. So these two modalities really complement each other beautifully.
Yeah, they do seem like they do.
Yeah.
It seems like it rounds out meditation in a way that, you know, because there's been a lot of concern about bypass, you
mm-hmm.
know. And this is totally not that.
No, it's totally not that.
Yeah,
it really takes us deeper into our humanness, our humanity,
mm-hmm.
so we can gain more clarity around who we are. And it enables us to help other people as well,
mm-hmm.
our family and our friends. And I do this work now with my husband, and it's helped him so much to do this kind of work, to get some clarity. And some insight into his life and his work and everything else. His relationships with the kids. It's been really invaluable. So
and one of the things that David said was that he's been a meditator for, what, I don't know, 50 years.
As long as us.
And he said that it was through focusing that he felt he really got to know himself.
Yes.
In a way that he had not through meditation.
That's right.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a whole other realm. It's, you know, I did a lot of shamanic journeying back in the 1990s. And it's very similar in a way. It's like entering the realm of who you are and navigating. It's like taking our internal GPS system and navigating on a deeper level who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful way. For me, when I started focusing, it was like going into this little submarine and just going deeper down into the crevices, very gently navigating the inner terrain and landscape of the myriad of emotions and thoughts and everything. And it's just been, but with such respect and dignity, thank you, that an honoring of everything that we hold in our experience is worthy. And not something that we have to be embarrassed by or reject at all. And it brings us together more so as human beings and a deeper understanding of ourselves and each other and more of an acceptance. I think it's one of the most invaluable tools we can have as a human species right now. And we need it for our planet and for what's happening in the world. So, anyway.
Thank you.
This has been great to come here.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you coming here.
Yeah. Yeah.